Amen. Hallelujah. You feeling good in the house of the Lord tonight? Amen. Well, our very own Felicia Neesum, Sistrunk, who is now not our very own, but she's still our very own. Her and her husband had their second little boy just the other day. Go on Facebook. He's a cutie. So we're excited for them and Grandma, Grandpa. Again, Grandma, Grandpa. Amen. Also, tonight is the last service for Sister Alicia Thompson before she heads out to Costa Rica all the way till next February. So we are going to miss her. Be sure to greet her after church. I'm very proud of her. She has been part of a ministry mentorship initiative called the 1826 Project with a few other young adults. And for the last 8 months, 9 months, and she is a blessing, and we're sad to see her go, but we're excited about her fulfilling the call of the Lord. And so just pray for her. She might not speak English when she gets back, only Spanish, so just pray that the Lord just keeps her hand upon her. Amen. Amen. We love you, Alicia. Amen. If you would stand with me, turn to Matthew chapter 11. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 28. Amen. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Tonight, talk on the subject, what yoke do you have on? What yoke do you have on? You may be seated. This is not egg yolks that has an L in it. This is actually a yoke in the agrarian society that existed in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. Folks were very familiar with the concept of the yoke. And so it was used by Jesus here in Matthew and also elsewhere in Scripture. It might not be such a familiar term to most of us since we don't live on farms. Those who deal with that may know a yoke is a wooden beam, if you could put the picture of the yoke up there, normally used between a pair of oxen or other animals to enable them to pull together on a load when working in pairs, as oxen usually do. It is actually a pretty tight or restrictive piece of equipment. If you look at that picture, you can just imagine that the ox on the left is not just going to take off running. Why? Because he's yoked with the ox on the right, and he's not going to just go do his own thing. That is what the yoke is for, is to keep them in line, keep them working together, and help them with the load. I think of a three-legged race. When trying to understand the limitations of a yoke for an individual, you can't just go running off in your own direction. Well, you can if they're a lot smaller than you and you can drag them. But when you're tied to someone else by your legs in a three-legged race, you do have to work in tandem because you are tied together or yoked together. In our opening scripture, Jesus implores the people to take his yoke upon them, and he describes his yoke as being easy. This implies that there is a yoke which folks have taken on that is a heavy or a burdensome yoke. In fact, as you look in Scripture, you realize that we all choose a yoke in life. We're all yoked up to someone or something, and we have to ask ourselves, what yoke do I have on? What yoke do we have on tonight? In Genesis 25, we first meet the characters Jacob and Esau. They were the twin boys born to Isaac and Rebekah, and Esau was just a few seconds older, and Jacob came out holding on to him and being dragged out of the womb, and with being the oldest guaranteed Esau the promises of the firstborn and the blessings that were given down. But Esau was careless with the promises he was due, and in a moment of extreme hunger sold Jacob the birthright just for a bowl of stew. And we then flip over to Genesis 25 as you read the story where Isaac calls for Esau to come get the blessing. This is the blessing that the father prays over the son, blessings of being the first, of getting all the majority of the land and inheritance and being the leader of the family and as the eldest. And to make a long story longer, Jacob deceives his dad and gets the blessing instead of Esau, relegating Esau to second tier status as the second son, so to speak, for the rest of his life. And part of his blessing for the firstborn is that they would be the head of the family and the other sons would serve them. And so now Esau, again with the second tier blessing, is going to serve Jacob. We see in Genesis 27, verse 40, this is Isaac, part of his blessing. And again, it's not so great of a blessing. It's the minor blessing. And in verse 40, it says, "And by the sword shalt thou live," talking to Esau, "and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt have the dominion that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck." And so it's promising Esau, hey, there's going to be a point that you will break that yoke, but you will be yoked to your brother. And you will be serving your brother. And as you trace the lineage down the line, Jacob's family becomes the Israelites, the children of Israel, God's chosen people. And while Esau's family becomes the nation of Edom, the Edomites. And we see the yoke that this scripture talks about in that the history of Edom was a perpetual struggle against the supremacy of Israel. They were conquered by Saul. They were subdued by David, repressed by Solomon, restrained after a revolt by Amaziah. And it was not until the time of Ahab that this prophecy was fulfilled and the blessing, and they recovered their independence. But it was generations later. There was a yoke of bondage, if you will, that was chosen by the family of Esau. And I say chosen, did they inherently want that yoke? Absolutely not. Esau, we see later in the New Testament describing Esau that he sought the Lord bitterly with tears and trying to find forgiveness and trying to get his life back on track. He didn't inherently want that, but his carelessness with the important things, the things of the Lord, the blessings, the how things worked back then, resulted in him choosing that yoke for his family. So it can be in our lives when we are careless with the things of God and we throw away our spiritual birthright and the blessings and allow sin into our lives. We choose a yoke of bondage. We choose a yoke of bondage. It's like the saying, sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. We are all faced with the choice of who we will serve. Joshua told the children of Israel, most famously, said, "Choose ye this day whom you will serve." And he goes on later and says, "As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord." And in that whole time period where Israel was facing committing to God and God was speaking to the children of Israel about all the things that the great things that would take place if they followed after his way, his law, but he also talked to them about the yoke that they would take on if they did not follow the precepts of the Lord. In Deuteronomy 28, 47 through 48, we see this. This is in a whole discourse about the things, if you don't serve the Lord, don't serve me. It says, "Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he has destroyed thee." The yoke of this world is one of bondage. As a result of our choices, we yoke ourselves with this world. We can, and everything goes downhill from there. Many have come out of that yoke of bondage, but there is a yoke of bondage. Amen. More or less gun control is not going to solve shooting sprees because there is a yoke of bondage in this country. We can't legislate or boycott our nation out of its yoke of bondage. Decisions that companies make, it's not going to change by us boycotting, unfortunately. Now, go boycott if you want. But unfortunately, that's the status of this world. And the U.S. has a yoke of bondage on it. And until the country turns to the Lord and repents of its way, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Amen. It's a yoke of bondage. And so in this environment, in this culture, I think, you know, we think things are bad. And then I think about Scripture and the apostles and the disciples. And, you know, did they boycott the fruit stands of the Roman Empire who were crucifying people left and right? And evil and wicked, much more than we have here. Or did they just say, you know what, there are people out there that are experiencing that yoke of bondage, so I'm going to extend love and reach and search and not try to worry about all the ethereal stuff of government and culture and society. I'm just going to worry about God and worry about trying to find folks in that bondage that I can help bring out. Amen. Remember the concept of a yoke. You don't just pull and do your own thing. When you mess with sin and the things of this world, you place yourself in that yoke of bondage. Thank God there is an answer, though. Amen. And I know there's folks in here that are thankful for where God has brought them out of that yoke of bondage. He brought Israel out of Egypt. Leviticus 26:13 says, I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. Egypt is a symbol of this world throughout Scripture. And God is saying, hey, I broke those bonds. I got you out of that environment, out of slavery, out of being in that yoke of bondage. And God promised to bring them out of the bondage that they got themselves in later as a nation. In Isaiah 14:3, and it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve. You're in bondage now, but you know what? There is going to be a day, and this is the promise of the Messiah and what the children of Israel look forward to and held on to, but there's going to be a day that the bondage is going to be free, going to be lifted from you. And going to the New Testament, Paul tells the church in Rome, in Romans 8:1, says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Farther down in 5 and 6, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Further down in verse 14 and 15, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We are set free from the yoke of bondage through God robing himself in the flesh, coming to this earth and being that spotless lamb slain for our sins. Luke 4:18 clearly says, as the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. He came to take away that yoke of bondage. Thank you, Jesus. Let's look at our opening scripture again. Matthew 11:28-30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. As I mentioned before, this passage clearly implies that there is still a yoke. When we submit our lives to God, and he breaks the yoke of bondage, we are in turn choosing the easy yoke that's in Christ. But I want to be free. I want to do my own thing. Well, we can. But what does the Bible say? God doesn't say, I'll remove your yoke of bondage and then let you do your own thing. Why? Because in sin did our mothers conceive us. And left to our own devices, our own way, we will ultimately be choosing to put back on the yoke of bondage. That propensity to sin is going to lead us to sin. Left to our own devices. Amen. And so we will ultimately be yoked one way or another. So a life with Christ is a life with the easy yoke. But why is it easy? Because that picture and the picture of the oxen, a yoke seems cumbersome, heavy, and restrictive. And so that's honestly a turn off to many people who don't understand. They say, well, put the yoke of God on me. I don't want to be yoked to anything. I don't want to be restricted. I want to do my own thing. I don't want to be told what to do. I don't want to be, you know, that's, yeah, you say it's not heavy. You say it's easy, but what in the world does that mean? It's a yoke. That doesn't look comfortable. Amen. I tried to get a yoke here and have put it on people, but couldn't get a yoke. But we tried. Amen. Think of it this way. You buy a brand new pair of shoes, but they don't quite fit right. And then you go walking for 8 hours in one day at Disney World. You won't be feeling very kicklicious in your new kicks. No, you most likely will have bloody ankles where the skin has been rubbed raw. And it happened to anybody? From the friction of the not so well fitting shoes. That's horrible. And it's painful. And it's just like, what in the world why did I buy new shoes? I should have just worn the old stuff. It's the same concept with a yoke. Yoke making was a skilled craft. You don't just make a piece of wood. I could never do that. Of course, I'm not very handy. Tim Knopp, he's handy with wood. But it was a skill that people had to making yokes. Good yokes were made of strong wood that could easily be made smooth. Any area of roughness on the yoke would cause skin irritation and muscle damage to the oxen as they pulled their load. Yokes also had to be expertly sized of the team for which they were made. They were very customized for the animal that was going to use it. If the yoke put the two animals too close together, they will jostle and hurt each other. If the yoke put them too far apart, they would not be able to share the load as easily as they might if the yoke had a better fit. And so coming back to us in the spiritual realm, we were created to worship God, to commune with God, to have relationships with God. So why is his yoke easy? Because he promises a burden designed to fit our frame, our individual needs, our individual strengths and capabilities. We come to him weary and heavy laden, and he removes those crushing burdens that would destroy any human being and replaces them with a yoke of appropriate stress designed specifically for us. And each person's different. But that's why his yoke is easy, because it's made for us. He knows exactly what we can handle. He knows exactly where to take us. And we take on the easy yoke when we give our lives to the Lord. And we fit ourselves with him. And really, it's just like, God, where do we go now? All right, cool. And there's no friction. There's no rubbing raw. But man, yoke of bondage, that just rubs you raw. And the life is hard. Life is miserable. Amen. Now we go to a different type of yoke, 2 Corinthians 6, 14, 18 through 18. And be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Talking here about the unequal yoke. The doctrine of separation from this world is a very clear and resounding sound coming from Scripture. And this passage here is the letter that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. And these folks were in church. They weren't unbelievers. They had already received salvation, had experience with the Lord, probably been filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. And they had a knowledge of God. And he was giving them a clear warning to be careful of wearing the unequal yoke. Paul first alludes to people. Don't be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And so he alludes to people that we can be unequally yoked with in our lives. See, looking at the children of Israel, they were brought out of Egypt. They're on their way to the promised land. They're going to face all these different nations along the way. And then when they go into the promised land, they're going to face the nations. And the Lord gives them instructions while they're in the wilderness regarding the interaction with the other nations. And this is Lord speaking to Moses, and he's going to deliver this to the people. Exodus 34, 11 through 16. It says, "Observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite and the Termite. And take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest." So take heed, because you don't want to make a covenant with any of these people, "lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods. And one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice, and thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go whoring after their gods." And it's a clear warning. And if you look in Scripture, it really fell on deaf ears. What happens when Balaam is contracted to curse the children of Israel? He can't, but he gives the evil king, "Hey, here's the way to do it. Send over the prettiest girls that you have in your nation and send them over there to marry the guys of Israel, the young dudes who are looking for the babes." And what happened? They did. And what happened? They went a whoring after their gods, as the Scripture says. And so exactly what they were warned not to do, they ended up doing, taking that unequal yoke. And we look on down the line in Israel and the bondage that it put them back into after coming out of bondage. Amen. Proverbs 4:14-15 puts it like this: "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away." Amen. The New Testament, I don't even have the Scripture, but it says, "Flee youthful lust." Don't even entertain it. Be like Joseph when Potiphar's wife came into the house and no one was there, and she put the moves on him. It wasn't like, "No, sorry, please put your clothes back on. I'll close my eyes while you do it, you know, but I got work to do here in the house." No, he ran. He ran from it. He's like, "I'm not even trying to deal with this. I'm not going to deal with evil people and those who are not after the Lord." Proverbs 24:1-2 says it like this: "Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. For their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief." Proverbs 2:10-11, "When wisdom enters into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee." Further on down in chapter 2, in verse 16-23, what is it going to keep you from? It's going to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. But for the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. We are admonished to not be unequally yoked with folks. Do we shut ourselves in, build a wall, create a compound, maybe with gun turrets? That'd be cool, but that shuts out the world. No one gets in, no one gets out. No, that would be a cult. That would be crazy. Thankfully, we don't have locks like that on the doors. Haha, we might have storage for a few weeks here, but, you know, food and stuff from the child care. But we do have to leave at some point. But no, we need to live in the world, but not be of the world. We need to be salt and light in this dark, tasteless world. But if our fellowship or our friendships or who we spend time with for the majority of our time are those who don't believe in God or are not pursuing God or are not interested in God, we have taken upon us the unequal yoke. Yes, we need to reach our world. But if you hang out with everyone else but folks in church, unequally yoked. It's dangerous. What's the result? The word picture that I have, that I thought of is having two oxen, one that is slightly bigger than the other. And you're thinking you're going forward in Christ as the smaller ox, but slowly and surely you're veering off course because he's pulling a little stronger. He's a little bigger than you. And you don't realize it because you're in the field and you're going. I think about mowing my yard. Glory. Mine's like a foot tall now. Lord, help me. I need to get out there. But it's like mowing the lawn. I mow, any professional mowers out there, you know, you mow this way and then you mow this way. And then you mow angled, side to side, front to back. I know Dan, yeah, Dan. And Dan mows like twice. He's like the professional mower. That's why it was fun to put forks in his lawn and a pink toilet in his lawn about 10 years ago. Amen. But I like to do that. Not as crazy. I don't have time to mow it twice. But when I go side to side, I have a patio in the back, and I line up with the patio, so I'm straight. And it's like, straight line, you know, parallel to the house. And I'm like, this is awesome. So I'll keep going back toward the back of the yard. And so down this road, down this road, down this road. And all of a sudden, it's like, I'm at an angle. How in the world did I get at an angle? It's the most frustrating thing. And when I go long ways from front to back, from the street to all the way to the back of the yard, it's just like, oh, yeah, I'm good, I'm good. And then I turn around, and it's like, you know, and then it's like, and how does that happen? It's just a bump of the lawnmower or a misstep, and you just kind of, you know, and then before you know it, you look back and it's like, oh my, I'm way off track. I just mowed their yard. God bless them. What in the world? That's what the unequal yoke does, and why we need to make sure our yoke is not only easy, but it's also equal. Now, in our lives, we are putting folks who help us, who keep us straight. Amen. Proverbs 13:20 describes, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. You know, whoa, really? You know? But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron. This is a very familiar scripture to many of us. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You want to be sharp in the Lord? Find someone who's sharp in the Lord and who can help you be sharp in the Lord and can knock off the rust. And Psalms 119:63, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. I hang out with folks who love you, God, who care about the things of God, who talk about the things of God. Not just come to church and enjoy it or don't go to church and don't care about it. But I want to hang out with those who will help me in my relationship. When we are yoked together with our brothers and sisters in the Lord, we head the right direction together. When one of us starts veering off course, we pull the other back in line. We encourage each other. We admonish each other. We challenge each other. We keep each other accountable. We hold up each other when one falls and stumbles because of life. If you are new in the Lord, you need to find a brother or sister to join arms with. If you're established in the Lord, we need to seek out those who are new and invite them to Culver's after church to hang out with you. Get a taste of true fellowship and what it is to be a brother or sister in Christ. Give them the strength they need to keep growing in the Lord. Don't leave them alone. They're babies. New ones are babies. I have a 7-month-old. Crazy. 7 months already. But he needs a lot of help, as Brother Grant was talking about in the baby dedication. It's zero responsibility. Why? Because I got to take care of them. And so when new folks come into our church are born again, we can't just say, awesome. Praise God. Woohoo. Have fun. No, we need to say, come on. This is how we do it. This is how we grow. I once was where you were at. So come on along with me. Let's go eat something. and take them out. Invite them to your house. Hang out with them. Get them involved. Amen. Looking into this further, we can not only be unequally yoked with individuals, but also the traps of this world, a career, a hobby, entertainment, as well as relationships can be an unequal yoke that we take upon us. So be not unequally yoked. Don't take the yoke of inequality, if that's even a word. Amen. It's important to understand also a tactic of the enemy. If you come into the to the church from this world, he will use this. If you were raised in the church, he will use this strategy. And that strategy is to lie about the easy yoke that we have in Christ. You see, in Christ, we have liberty and freedom from sin in this world. But the enemy will try to make it seem like we are in bondage. And we are restricted. And we can't do our own thing. And we have to follow all these rules and regulations. Especially if you're raised in the church, young people, the grass is not greener on the other side. And adults, the grass is not greener on the other side. And we have to go back, and this is where we, you know, it's important to remember where God brought us from. No, you know what? I don't want to go back there. But that is a tactic of the enemy. Man, they said to come to church again. It's Memorial Day weekend. Can't we get a break here? You know, let's go to, you know, hang out. Why? You know, that's a tactic of the enemy to start saying, you know what, that's a really hard life. You have to go to church three times. You have to pay your tithes. I mean, you have to be happy and joyful and, like, you know, live in the Lord. I mean, come on. Like, there's way funner things to be happy with, you know, not showing the side effects, of course, and the depravity and the bondage that results. But, hey, you know what, you're restricted. And there's something better. And that's why in Galatians 5:1, we are admonished to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We have an example in the Bible of those who thought they were in bondage to Christ, threw off God's yoke, but then ended up in true bondage. Once again, going back to the children of Israel. And this is the New Living Translation, Jeremiah 5:5. It says, "So I will go and speak to their leaders. Surely they know the ways of the Lord and understand God's laws. But the leaders too, as one man, had thrown off God's yoke and broken his chains." Said, "You know what, God? You are way too restrictive. We're going to do our own thing, follow our own way." And we see what happened if you look at the history of Israel and how they were taken into captivity in Babylon and things just destroyed, the temple of God destroyed there in Jerusalem and only a remnant left there. And thank God that he had a plan and it was all part of bringing them back and showing them that they needed to depend on God. But man, they had it made. They were the promised children of God, the chosen people. They had the promised land. They walked in where they didn't have to plant things. They didn't have to start over. It was all there. All they had to do was just follow his commandments, wipe everybody out and in the Lord and just live in his promises. Yet they said, you know what? We're going to do our own thing. And we're going to throw off this yoke that God has on. Man, we got to sacrifice. We got to, you know, sacrifice it. I don't even know what a turtle dove is, God, and I got to sacrifice it. And, you know, when I mess up, I got to bring an oxen, and we only have two, and now I got to, you know, buy another one. And, you know, who knows the complaint? I could just imagine the complaints that, you know, like, two turtle doves, you know, and that's probably where the Christmas song came from. Two turtle doves. I'm going to sacrifice a pear tree and a partridge. Amen. Someone was singing that who really sinned, like, on the sixth day of sin. Amen. Hallelujah. Last scripture before we come to a close. 2 Peter 2:19 through 22. If the musicians would come. While they promised them liberty. And these are folks, deceivers, those who try to lead folks astray. While they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. So they were once in bondage. They came out of bondage. And they said, you know what, God, I'm sick of your yoke. And then they get entangled right back into where they were. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it had happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Dogs eat their own vomit. That's like, what a vivid imagery of us saying, you know what, we have such freedom in God. But you know what? I'm going to throw this all away because I want to live my own life. I want to live my own way of allowing the enemy to lie to us that there is a better life for us. Amen. There is a yoke, but that yoke is easy. It's fitted perfectly for us. If you would stand with me. So what yoke do you have on tonight? If you're here tonight and are in bondage of sickness or depression or insecurity or bondage of sin, you just can't overcome something. You know what? God came to give you a yoke that's easy. All you have to do is say, you can't get out of it yourself. You really can't, no matter how hard you try. You know, if you're struggling with a perpetual sin, you know what? Stop trying to do it on your own. Stop trying to buck that yoke and say, no, I'm going to go. Because why? There's a 2-ton ox on the other side saying, ah, I got you. Whatever, you're yoked with me. But God can break those yokes. He can break the bands that are entrapping you. You just got to let him. You just got to say, you know what, God? I'm done trying on my own. I'm going to try with you. Just let him tonight. Amen. And if your yoke is, you're living the easy yoke life, have you looked behind you lately? Have you seen if you're mowing still straight? Or if you're, are you in the neighbor's yards not knowing that you are? The bumps of life, the missteps of life have knocked you off course. You have no clue. Have you taken a look in the mirror? Have you looked behind you? Am I still on course? Or have I let something become unequally yoked with myself? Whatever it may be, an individual, a thing, a hobby, whatever it may be, am I unequally yoked with something? If you haven't looked in the mirror, look in the mirror tonight. Take a look. God, is there something that I'm bumped off course? Amen. And if, God forbid, the enemy is lying to you that there's something better, you know what? Just give up. You are being so restricted. You are being so, you know, you're just in bondage with God. If you're being lied to, man, come and renew yourself in the Lord tonight. Say, you know what? I'm going to find that freedom, that joy again, and realize, no, Lord, the yoke is easy. Your burden is light. And I'm just going to recommit tonight. Amen. As the worship team begins to sing, won't you come to the front, find a place to pray, analyze yourself. What yoke do you have on tonight? Amen. If you need deliverance, if you need healing tonight, come forward. We'll pray with you. There'll be ministers who will pray for your healing, who will pray for your deliverance with you. Amen. If you need a course correction, if you need to analyze, God will show you. He's the mighty counselor, it says. He's our counselor, and he'll show you. He'll explain things away. He'll let you know what's going on, what you're unequally yoked with, if you are. Amen. Let's find a place to pray tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.